I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the musical podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I'm Mark Haynes.
And I'm Julia Raceye.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags. The wonderful outfits.
The complex structure of bets that could leave you better off by £1 million.
And everything that happens both on and off the dance floor.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends, and dancing!
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful.
Hello, welcome to The Curse of Strictly with me, Julia Rayside, and Mark, who's got a cold.
I've got
Haynes.
A big cold.
Doesn't he sound sexy, ladies and gentlemen?
I look really sexy as well because I've got a beard, so that's holding everything that's coming out of my face.
Really hot.
If I have a cold, I'd like everyone to know about it.
Mark, I know you're saving your voice, so I'm going to say it this week. Hot sauce!
Hot sauce! Actually, hot sauce would help me this week.
Oh, no, it would, wouldn't it?
These things you create in fun, you suddenly realise...
Chili clears out the passages, doesn't it?
Well, exactly.
Oh, I'm very sorry for your suffering. Anyway, it's week five. There's dancing must talk about. So.
Yeah, I felt I suffered, actually, watching this week.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I felt this was a total placeholder of an episode.
Did you really?
I really did. I felt that everyone tried really hard last week.
Yeah.
When it seemed like anyone could go.
It felt like everyone tried too hard last week.
Yeah, and this week it was like, oh gosh, I'm only going to give you 2 days this week to do a little bit of rehearsal.
No, I know. It was awful.
Emma
yeah.
Barton made that clear. She was like, oh, I'm doing EastEnders Christmas, so.
I know. I felt there was like a bit of a class war this week because Emma clearly has all the time in the world to rehearse and did very, very, very well indeed. Emma Barton, like she works on a market stall. She only had 2 days free. It just feels really unfair and like the inequality, the social divide was very visible.
I've been following the tabloids as to what they're reporting this year, and there's absolutely no rumpy pumpy stories at all.
No.
What there has become in the Mirror and the Sun is they've begun focusing on Emma Weymouth's husband. I cannot remember what his title is.
Is he the one with the monocle who was in the front row the other week?
That's the one. The guy who was strangling the swans and just biting them like apples. So last week they did a big thing about him getting really, really furious that Emma Weymouth had made it to the dance-off.
Oh.
And apparently he was kicking off and they were sort of, you know, reporting he was really, really kicking off.
This week,
he apparently was caught urinating behind a biffa bin.
I love that detail.
At the studio. And I mean, it's great when you read a tabloid paper where they have to try and make that tiny little, like someone has seen, they have to make it into a whole page. It was brilliant.
Just from him tinkling behind a bin.
Absolutely. And loads and loads of sort of unnamed observers repeating the story.
Incredible.
I mean, I couldn't believe it when I turned round and saw him simply urinating behind a biffa bin. Everyone called it a biffa bin again.
Was there a decent headline? Was there at least a good headline?
It should have been the Royal We, but I mean...
It should have been, right?
I don't think he's royal.
Once. I've only ever once ended up in a tabloid paper myself.
Uh-huh.
And it was because I was doing a radio show with Richard Madeley, the television presenter and journalist. And he doesn't lock the door when he goes to the toilet because he's been locked in the toilet before during a live broadcast.
Gotcha.
And it's just superstitious.
Probably by the crew.
Obviously. And so it was not a major. It was, it it was a nib at best, but a tabloid story that I walked into the presenter's toilet at Radio 2 and there he was back to me having a piss. And the headline read, Richard and Rude Wee, which I thought fair play.
Really good. You know, when you said it wasn't major, it was a nib. I think it's best to say that that's
news
describing...
News in brief.
Yeah, that's the story, not Richard Madeley.
Oh, God, Richard, no. I should imagine... I didn't see a thing.
I should imagine if you had, you would have new respect for Richard Madeley.
Do you know what? I probably would. He walks with a swagger, that man.
I just thought that this episode, I thought that no one had brought a dance that was, with the exception of Alex Scott, that was any different from they'd done pretty much in week two.
No, I think this is week five is tricky. It's neither a theme week or a week of any crucialness near to the final. So it's a plateau week often, and sometimes more often a dip.
Yeah.
And we definitely had some dips this
you
week.
Are 100% right. If there was a theme this week, it was plateau.
Plateau,
and
yes.
There was an odd thing where the music this week...
It's pushing it up a hill week.
Yeah. Yep. And the music this week really summed it up. They weren't going to waste any great songs.
Oh, God,
songs.
No bangers whatsoever. Ever.
None. When they kicked off with who kicked off? Macca's died. My Macca's died, so I don't have any notes
this
today.
This means I am in control.
I am very much going to make a lot of mistakes.
I could say anything and he'll just have to nod and smile. Kelvin and Oti kicked things off with their cha-cha to Get Stupid.
Get Stupid by Aston Merigold.
Aston Merigold.
Now when that came on, I was like, why are they? And I know he was in Strictly, and I think he actually won the Christmas Strictly
and they got him along to training that this week. And
so I had a look at this song and I was just thinking, I don't think I've ever heard this. And it made, I think, number 28 in
huge
the UK.
Huge hit, Mark. It was a massive
3 years ago. Who is picking the music?
I don't know. They're not doing the greatest job this year, are they?
No, not at all.
I think when there's been a chance to do something amazing, it's either been a slightly duff arrangement or, whoever the producer is who's picking out the dances and tunes, not doing the greatest
today,
job.
Today, I mean the actual, on this week's show, they had Who Let the Dogs Out, which I'd heard of, but didn't want to see a dance to.
Little Bird, they had. Catherine and Johannes did the Annie Lennox song.
Yes.
Annie.
I mean, that was the other feeling of what the theme was this week, which was slightly 80s.
I know.
Everyone looked like they were from the 80s.
It was that because they were slightly fresh princing of Bel-Airing because of Alfonso Ribeiro being... Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
I mean,
they were subconsciously...
I think that's an early 90s show.
Yeah, no, it is, isn't it?
I mean, didn't... Like, Karen came out and she was dressed as a sort of 80s...
Okay, they did Let's Go Crazy, Prince, so that is a banger.
Yeah, that was a banger.
Only.
That's true, yeah. And then you had New York, New York.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a mix and match of... You know, that should have been in Movies Week, you know, New York.
No, it's true. They had the scraps, the leftovers this week, I think.
Yeah.
If they planned out the whole series, then this was the leftovers week. But they did, I really liked the Charleston to Pump Up the Jam, the kind of jazzy 30s Pump Up the Jam. That was fun.
I was 100% ready for that to absolutely tank.
I know, and it did not at
all,
did it?
And they did a really, really good version of Pump Up the Jam, which really fitted that. It helped as well that that was not a bad dance by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it was her best dance.
Alex Scott,
No, it was. So let's go back. Kelvin and Oti did the cha-cha to Get Stupid, the song that no one's ever heard of. They got a standing ovation. He was trying to channel Ali Ash throughout because he was trying to... This is a really difficult dance to look masculine in because it's quite sort of prancy and poncy.
Yeah.
He looked so, again, this word keeps coming up with this guy, but he looked really masculine. He was a great match when they were doing side-by-side stuff. She was somehow feminine but doing the same moves as him.
Yep.
He looked like a hunk of beef but with swivelly bits. That's disgusting. He looked like a string of sausages moving in all directions at once.
Like a kebab doner.
So hot. He is hot meat.
But one where you're really drunk and it seems to be moving in the middle. Do you know what? This is the first week where actually I watched him and I thought, I feel I've seen this now.
Yeah, okay.
And I felt that there was,
plateau week.
He got to the point where I was thinking, right, okay, we know you can do that. Mm-hmm. I want to see something else now.
Yeah. He needs to plateau. You need to stall at this point in the proceedings if you're going on to the final, which he definitely is.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So it's good not to get nines and tens and nines and tens now because people get sick of you.
Yep.
So he had 3 8s and a 9, which I think for him, tactically, that's a good score.
Yeah, entirely. It keeps him off that top bit where you just go, this is getting boring.
Yeah.
He is doing this week in, week out.
Yeah.
It was a good decision to have them open the show.
Yeah.
Because by the time it's finished, you have forgotten all about them and they've just disappeared for a week where you aren't sort of bothered about, you know, voting for them or voting against them.
And they'll be fine. They're sort of safely nestled near the top, not in the danger zone. And, you know, there's no way he ain't coming back for...
No.
Weeks to come.
No.
And then we had a very quick TNC, slightly underwhelming one by Joe Lycett. I thought he might do more with it. He didn't really milk it at all. He had fun with it.
He came forward. I did feel that there was a slight thing of he is a good, possible replacement host at some point.
Oh, I suppose so. And he didn't really nail the audition, if that's the case.
I sometimes wonder if they, when they get people like Joe Lycett on, because Strictly is such a big show, I do wonder if they sort of brief them beforehand saying, please don't do anything silly. Remember, it's a family show. And I think when you're like Michael Ball, say, you can come out and they just go, Michael, go and do your thing.
Yeah.
But when it's Joe Lycett, they're all like, please.
Rein it in. Yeah,
please don't
Nothing
say
rude.
Anything about gay sex.
Don't be risque. It's,
we've got lots of, I just think there's, I don't think he does. But I mean.
It's not really his act, is it?
I think there is that slight thing of a comedian where you're trying to talk to your audience and you're also are really super aware that the BBC are like, don't alienate our audience. And so that can be a difficult little bit. Yeah. I really, really like Joe Lycett.
Yeah, no, he's adorable. I thought he slightly undersold himself, but maybe you're right. He was on Best Behaviour and he didn't quite.
It's a funny one, this, because I was thinking this the other day. So they used to do really, really bad gags.
Yeah.
And Tess would be doing her stand-up set. And you'd get eight stinkers. When Bruce Forsyth was doing it, he would spend a lot of time just going, I mean, it's appalling, it doesn't make any sense. You know? Now, they have got one of the best TV writers working on this show.
Yes.
I think it's Rob Colley.
Oh, yeah, he does everything.
He is spectacularly good. Now, I've worked with him many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And he was one of those people, you go, God, you are amazing at this. You think it's easy to do this job.
Oh, no, you have to be a machine, don't you?
I really noticed this year, they are doing the things where Tess sits there with Craig next to her, but they aren't attempting gags.
That's probably better, though, because they understand that Tess is better at sort of better at the emotion sometimes, but she's better at just being a presenter and doing her job proficiently and confidently.
Yeah.
And Claudia is the funny one. And actually, you give her gags, she'll do her best with them, but she's much better off the cuff because she's a brain and she's like
totally.
Rat-a-tat-tat 100 miles an hour.
And I do think that there's a sense of they have dropped. Well, every line that we go into has to be a bit funny.
Now,
I mean, they're almost like weird haikus.
Yes.
Where Tess will just sort of go, last week they were doing this, and this week they're doing that.
Yes.
But will it be better than last week?
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing? Let me just
I know. Exactly. But I think it's wise not to keep trying to... They're wise to work to Tess's strengths and not keep trying to bend her around the comedy corner. It doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
She's really good at what she does.
I thought her dress as well this week was mad.
Oh, I love the way she looked this week. Brilliant.
You?
Yeah, no, people always say, oh, God, like, who's dressing her? They must hate her. A lot of my gay male friends do this. And I'm like, I thought she looked great.
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought she looked a bit like a stag beetle. And she had a dress on that had a sort of point in the middle.
It was a jumpsuit.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was sort of tapered around her thighs and then went out into flares.
Oh, did it? Okay, right.
But the top bit had a sort of like spike under her chin. I thought, if she falls down those stairs, we're going to see her impale her own head. And Claudia was just wearing a sort of spotty number.
They hadn't got the same memo. I mean, they don't.
No.
The impression I get, and certainly I've done Claudia's show a couple of times on radio too, she couldn't give a cock about the dresses. She's like, just put me in something and can we please just get on with this?
Yeah,
because it's not really... But Tess is a former model and she loves the fashion, so she's more into it.
I can imagine that people all around the country were seeing Claudia come out in that thing and just going, I mean, you know...
Oh, my
totally
mum will have had words to say about that.
I mean, why didn't she just turn up in jeans or some slacks?
Yeah, I think one year she actually joked, I saw her the week before the series started, she was like, can I just go to Topshop and get 20 identical black dresses? Right, let's get on with it. Like, I just like her sense of, can we please just do my job? Anyway, we have to go next too, because we're never going to get there. The Bell of Doom, David and Nadia's jive. When I saw he was doing a jive, I was like, if he doesn't go out, then the universe is not aligned correctly.
This, again, because it was plateau, we knew before this started who was going to go out. Now, David has gone out.
He is out of there.
He didn't deserve to go last week, but then...
No. He did pick it up. It was like you know, when someone's dying and they rally
Absolutely.
For the last hour and then they just die.
David was so lucid. He was talking all about football.
Yeah, he was laughing and joking like normal.
He was flirting a bit. I mean, I think he's going to pull through. Oh, he's gone. But again, at the expense of Dev, it shouldn't have happened.
No.
This makes it seem doubly pointless that Dev went, because it's not like David James has suddenly really turned a corner and you've gone, wow, game changer.
I know they choose the dances before. It's sort of mapped out sort of further in advance than this, but it felt like the two weakest men this week got the worst possible dances for them.
Oh, massively.
A 6'5" guy trying to jive, you know, he hadn't come on that far to be able to nail that one.
No,
and I think
all.
Also Baggins was given, was it a samba?
Yeah.
And that guy has no bounce in his backside at all.
I know we'll get to it, but it is worth just flagging up. I think that was the single worst dance I've ever watched in my life.
It was really bad.
I'm not even talking about just on Strictly. I'm talking about, like, you know, when I've seen drunk people.
That time you saw that man tasered by the police.
Yeah. I once saw quite an elderly man trying to catch a pigeon, right? And it was a thing of greater beauty than that monstrosity appeared on Saturday
night. Someone's already made a meme out of when he thrust his groin at the judge's desk and then at that spotlight appears to be emitting straight from his privates.
It was one of those things, again, and this for me was the perfect example of the headmaster's son, where he's been told to do something and they said, do you know what, it will be so funny.
Yeah.
It will. Do you know what it is? It's Ed Balls
doing Gangnam
style. This will bring the house
down. You're going to look great.
And all it was
this sense of humour.
Weird little man. Thrusting his groin at an audience out of time.
I felt bad for him. We'll get there, but we have to talk about... So David and Nadia, I wrote one word. I wrote clenched.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, because it's a jive and it so shows up your lack of dexterity, physical dexterity, if you haven't got it.
Yeah.
He went wrong so many times. Yeah. He looked scared. He looked like he was a tree about to be timbered for most of it.
I mean, it just... They had a lucky... week last week.
Yeah.
And he should have gone out on that high.
Yeah.
He went out on a thing that it's just so far beyond him that it would have been better to go out on a good note rather than this mess that went out.
In a way. It was a shame. It was because last week was so glorious. As soon as the dance ended, my husband, I had to quote this because it was funny, said he just failed his jiving test. And correct, yes, he did. On every count.
Your husband should be one of Britain's great comedy writers.
He should do this for a job. He's so clever, bless him. David and Nadia got 3, a 4, a 4 and a 5. And I felt that was generous.
Yeah, same here. I mean, there were some... Again, you know, there were some marks that were all over the place in this. But,
oh, God, no, we'll talk about
But I think, you know, the problem is really that should have been his marks last week.
I know.
He's just this plateau and having him still there.
They gave him
having
a false
to
sense
sit
of
through
hope.
That.
Yeah.
You know, it's what an anticlimax.
Completely and utterly and a bit devastated to go out with that. But there you go. Then we followed up with Catherine and Johannes, who did a tango to Little Bird, which I really, really loved. Now, they went to town on her footwork, told her lots of things were wrong with it. They were really quite disapproving. I thought her feet were amazing. They said her feet were not amazing.
Yeah.
They kept on going about how she didn't have her feet together at the start and blah, blah. So it sounds like she missed some fundamental stuff.
Yeah.
But that's really left them... I thought, you know, at the time when the scoring came out, I was like, oh, God, they're in danger because they had a 6, 2 sevens and an 8.
Yeah, I think...
And I think it was better than that.
But I think you're absolutely right. I do think that they are in a slightly dangerous position. There's something about her which is a little bit soft. It's a little bit...
There wasn't quite enough attack.
She doesn't have the snap. And again, with him, that really shows up. But
because he's so showbiz and awesome and kind of finished and polished.
Oh, entirely.
And
I mean, they are Johannes and Catherine. That is the correct way round.
Right. We'll call them that from now on.
Yeah, but I did think there's something about her which I think is every bit as problematic as Alex Scott.
Yes, and I know what you mean. There's a little
looks
spark missing.
The business,
she does, and she looked great this week as well.
She did, but there's something about watching her dance. It's never a thing where you go, "This is coming naturally."
No, yes, I suppose you're right. They were talking about frame and kind of, you know, the very crisp, polished thing you need for tango.
Yeah.
She slightly lacked and that she wasn't... I don't know, I thought she did those head whips really well, you know, where you're changing direction and stuff. She looked, in those moments, she looked like she was in sync with him, but I guess a lot of it, they thought she wasn't.
I enjoyed watching it, which is the main thing.
Same here.
I mean, I think the problem is, of course, as we've seen, like with the head whips, your Karim and your Emma Barton doing them much better at an earlier stage of the competition.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, that one pass without much incident, I enjoyed it. The judges not so much.
Yep.
Then, oh God, because Karim and Amy were next, they had quite a heavy interaction with Hacker T Dog.
Oh,
who's
yes.
like his puppet co-host on CBBC.
And the dog was urinating in their bags. Chewing their
then
contracts.
Then he was in the training VT. It's like, okay, yeah, fine. Yeah. They're making a lot out of this. But then they were doing their salsa to Who Let the Dogs Out, so I guess it was was just.
Yeah. There was a lot of movement, wasn't there?
There was a lot of movement. There was a lot of side by side, which he can totally do.
Yeah.
There was lots of acrobatic tricks, which he can totally do. And some of the lifts were pretty awesome, I thought. Pretty incredible. And they did get a standing ovation.
The thing about this is I think they were sort of saying, you know, it had real sort of urban feel and everything.
Yeah.
And it's very much what I imagine if you went to a dance studio in Herefordshire,
yeah,
they would think urban was, which is essentially being one of the Sharks or the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it doesn't get any more gang than that. Amy also had a really bad cold.
Oh, God, I know. She'd been poorly, yeah, for a couple of weeks.
It doubled her Welshness.
It
because
did,
she was speaking, she'd go, look at me, having a dancey huck of the dog. Like that. It was like, wow, that is Welsh, man.
It was Welsh and husky. She did sound like Tom Jones this week. No, but I just thought the judges made a point of saying, I think it might have been Shirley, that is there a part of your body that can't dance, like that can't sort of independently move on its own?
Yeah.
I think that's true. He is very, very bendy and dexterous and kind of articulated in every possible way. He got really good scores. He got an 8 from Craig, but a 10, a 9 and a 9 from the other three.
Yeah.
I feel like he looks the most pro of anyone at the moment.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a funny thing as well. I think his chances have improved with Dev going.
Yeah.
And that comes down to a quite horrific thing, which is they are both non-white.
Yeah.
They work in youth television.
Yes, they
were
getting the same votes, but probably not miles apart in terms of demographic age.
I think by having Dev drop out, I think that's actually been quite useful for Karim. We know that the one way that Britain tends to vote in these sorts of reality shows
is in a really racist fashion.
As awful as it sounds.
Yeah, no. This is the knee-jerk, unthinking stuff that people don't know they're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's good for Karim. I think he is, and you cottoned onto this really early on, I think one of the big feathers in his cap is Amy.
Yeah,
I didn't realise how much I like her until I've seen her now.
Yeah, I know I talked about this last week, but there's a bit where, you know, the smiles have been on a bit too long and they're perhaps doing the bit with Claudia or the bit downstairs with Tess after they finish their dance, they're out of breath. There's a bit where with Nadia, always the smile is like, and it's gone. There you go. She's still doing it because she can't stop doing it now. But there's nothing in the eyes.
Yeah.
It's gone. And Amy just looks really freaking happy to be there so delighted. And
I thought this week,
it comes from within.
I thought from this week she was looking at the judges with almost, come on then, I dare you.
Yeah.
I think she had a sort of sense of,
not
sure which way
him.
This is going, but she looked furious before those scores came
because
out.
Because she knows what work they had to put in. I mean, they all do, obviously. They all work hard. The catchphrase is coming.
It's funny, but the ones that I've really sort of like warmed to as a couple are the ones where the dance partner is super serious.
Yeah.
So there is something about like Jeanette and Will that I love them.
Oh my God, this week we'll come to them.
Yeah.
But heart.
When you've got Otie, who is determined to win this, when you've got Amy, who is determined to beat Otie, that makes me like them
more. And now Anton's serious too, because this week, my God, did he even smile?
Nope.
The Anton of yore is gone.
He is dead
for the long haul.
He is underneath the wall.
We'll come to them. I really like their dance. Next is my very good friend Michelle Visage and her dance partner Giovanni, who did a rumba to a Sam Smith song.
Somebody say Michelle Visage's favourite podcast is The Curse of Strictly.
Yeah, I think it is.
But I mean, they didn't. But we will say that from now on.
I think having observed her on Twitter, she is very good at the old social media. You say something nice and at her and she'll go, hey girl, or give you a little kiss or other. So yeah, we've been chatting this week on the Twitter.
Fantastic.
We're very close personal friends. She's now my favourite casting contestant, obviously. I think the build up and the expectations were extremely high for her rumbering this week with Gio. It didn't take the roof off as you might have expected.
Nope.
They were talking about her Cuban part was missing, which I think meant the snaky middle, which is very difficult when you're stopping and starting, resisting and pulling and pushing. But she was slow and controlled and the acting was brilliant and the confident stillness of her.
Yep.
Just she was still the fricking queen.
I was really, really worried that she was going to end up in the dance off.
Yeah, no, I was too.
She would have absolutely smashed it.
Oh, totally.
But there was a part of me that sort of goes, again, when you dip from being as good as you've been and you have that little dip, that can be a dangerous little thing. Absolutely plateau. Absolutely plateau week.
It kicked nearly all of them in the butt this week, unfortunately. Mm. So she got 3 sevens and an 8, which on any other week, you know, not a bad score, but she has been rising and rising and rising. And that the confidence of her. I hope. I mean, I doubt anything can shake her confidence, but I really hope she just takes this in her stride and continues, because it was still a really strong rumba. It's just hard.
I mean, she has actually done quite a lot of Latin dances now, hasn't she?
I think she has done a lot of the Latin. So I feel like I haven't seen her ballroom much at all.
No, and I think that middle is not going to be quite so important when you're doing those beautiful
and
lines.
Her hold,
which we know she can do.
Oh my God, strike a pose, ladies. Strike another one. She, her line is going to be, I'm actually doing it with my shoulders last now, because I just feel like I want to look at her in hold. That's going to be a delight.
Absolutely.
And that will keep her going long into the competition.
Did you
now,
see Cheryl doesn't have a surname anymore.
Did they even mention that Cheryl was Cheryl there with her dad?
I don't know if it was her dad, but she was there.
There was some man sat next to her that she kept on sort of
nagging. I know that he didn't sort of, what's your surname? Can I have it? they didn't sort of like go, oh, it's Cheryl Cole.
That? Because I thought, well, maybe I just was looking away or something. Did they not reference her at all?
When we record this, we actually record this before the Sunday show goes out. Mm-hmm. So she may be performing music. I don't know.
No,
I don't think she is.
They mentioned she was performing and it wasn't her.
Oh,
it was someone called
Lord.
Mabel.
All I could think is
unless
she's there.
Unless she's changed her name to Mabel.
Cheryl Mabel.
I want to be known as Mabel now. Why, I? Sorry, any Geordies listening, I'm very sorry.
I think she was there because at the moment, Drag Race UK has got a drag queen on called Cheryl Hole.
Oh, that's right.
And I had a feeling she was like, maybe if I go down there and I'll meet Michelle Visage and I'll be like, maybe I could come on Drag Race.
Guest judge.
Yeah, because you've got Cheryl Hall on there.
I'm sure if you're Cheryl, you just say, I want to be in the front row strictly. And they go, yes, m'lady. You'll look so pretty.
It is a strange thing when you sort of go, I mean, you know, you're not selling anything, but I just want to go and see Strictly. You're not going to sit at home and watch it. No, I'd like to go to Elstree, which is a hard place to get to.
Yeah.
Although not if you're Cheryl, because I believe she does live that side of...
And it's all right, because you can park in the shopping centre opposite. No, there's like a leisure centre opposite, and you can just park...
There's a huge Wetherspoons as well, which is not far away, and you've got the big Tesco, so you can get something to eat afterwards.
She can have like a pasty or something on the way home.
Oh, I tell you what, if she went out with me, that's what she'd get.
And she'd be grateful, Mark Haynes.
Absolutely. But I must stress, it goes on my club card.
Not hers, sorry.
I'm not splitting that.
I don't make the rules.
How am I going to get a 2-for-1 rail card for 16 quid if I don't get the club card points?
It's a miracle you're married at all, Mark.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose Mother's Day bashing her head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Next, we had the most undermarked dance of the evening, I thought, Emma and Anton's Paso to the music I can't even record.
Nope.
It was a song I didn't know.
No. Nope.
Anton was serious beyond words, like throughout, afterwards, just no joking about at all. Her intent, I thought, was great. Her face was amazing. But they said it was slightly lacking in attack.
Yeah. I, do you know what? It washed over me, that one.
Oh, I loved it.
I watched it and I just felt, funnily enough, I felt it was from Anton
acting.
because there were two bits, and actually he started acting really well.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. His game is up now to meet hers.
But there were two bits, one before and one after, where she mentioned, I just haven't really had a lot of time this week to do it, you know, because I've been doing these EastEnders things.
They were down 2 days. It was like half their training week, basically.
And then they mentioned it after with Claudia. She was like, oh, you didn't get a chance really to do anything this week, did you? And she was like, no, I was so... And again, this was like Saffron talking about about I don't have any balance. Yeah. And then you watch her and you go, oh, look, she's got no balance.
No, I know.
And in this one, with them saying, oh, we haven't actually had much time for it.
Yeah.
I think the judges were slightly, oh, right, okay, this isn't going to be great. I'm going to watch this and I'm going to make sure I slightly mark you down because you have been slacking. You can't be seen to be rewarded.
No, exactly. But I don't know. I was frustrated. It was not. Craig gave them a 5, which was BS, Craig.
Oh, absolutely.
Frankly. Everyone else gave them 7s, which I thought was absolutely fair. At the very least, Craig should give them a 6.
Yeah.
5 is taking the... Like, he only gave David James, like, 2 fewer marks, I think.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough rehearsal. But if that's what she can do on 2.5 days, then I'm sorry. We should be marking her up, not marking her down.
I think as well, next week, you're going to see the results of her being told off for that.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be an entirely different dance. I mean, it could be their best one of the series.
Yeah,
easily.
Hopefully. I know it washed over you, but it was one of the ones I enjoyed the most. But it's her acting. I think I just get really drawn into her face.
I think you've fallen in love with both of them. I think it's clouded your judgment.
No, I'm
into
them.
I think you've really ruined what should be an interesting debate by being continually pro Emma and Anton.
But they're so lovely.
Even when they're kicking the dogs and they're strangling the kittens.
That was not proved. I do. You're right. I just completely adore them. It's like mummy, daddy. Yes.
Yes.
Next, we had the one revelation of the week, the one significant upswing. Mm. Alex and Neil's Charleston to pump up the jam.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. but no, it was a lovely Charleston-y arrangement of the song.
And she did those little vignettes as well where it's almost exactly what we were saying in the last 2 weeks.
It's exactly what you were saying.
Where she is like, oh, I can't, I'm really looking forward to the dancing. I'm so glad it's coming up.
No, it's like, this is when I start to go paranoia. They're listening to us, Mark, because you said put her in the suit.
I did.
And give her some of the lifts. She lifted Neil twice.
Yep.
And she was wearing a suit, and it did sort of work.
I also said he should be in a cocktail dress, well, and it would have worked so much
you'd
better.
You'd have seen his pants when he went upside down.
Yeah, I saw a lot of pants this week, actually. There was a lot of panting going on.
Do you want to see Neil's pants? That's what I'm asking.
I would like to see quite a lot of pants. I wouldn't say Neil's are at the top, but
okay,
any pant in the storm. And yeah, it was good. I think for the first time, she looked really, really great.
She looked like a dancer.
She did, and she had lots of... It wasn't so much even the steps were right, and she had a lot more of the right steps.
But
it was the attitude. And she had bits where she would just sort of... She had very good camera work suddenly.
Yeah.
Where she was super aware of where the cameras were. She was pointing at one point as being sassy.
Yep.
And I thought that's... As a single second, I've enjoyed that second as much as any second.
Yeah, that's
on
nice.
Strictly.
Yeah.
She just seemed... just punchy, and she seemed on it. And I really liked that. I thought it was great.
She was very, very good. Compared to how she has been, I think... I don't know. It always happens with sports people. Your expectations of them emotionally are so low that when they do anything, you're like, oh my God, look at that expression. That's incredible. That she was very much more aware of her face and this dance, the Charleston, you're supposed to do big faces and kind of like big panto stuff.
Yeah.
It was still, I thought, really quite underpowered facially for me. Uh-huh. But they were just so delighted that she'd done something.
Yeah.
That she'd listened and tried to loosen up. And...
Yeah. There were bits where you sort of went, that didn't look great.
No.
Again, they're obsessed with this backward roll that they keep doing. And there was a bit right at the end where she did a backward roll.
Mm.
And it's, I mean, never in the history of human achievement has anyone gone, and then he really tops it off by doing a backward roll like a toddler.
Yeah, no, you know? It is. It's very gym class, isn't it? It's of nursery school.
Yeah, but she looked great, and that's half the battle, weirdly.
It was a really nice routine, so I think Neil did a brilliant job this week. Very. Bless you, darling. Very good choreography.
I'm drowning.
Very good. That was disgusting. Even Craig was really nice to them this week.
He was, yeah.
He didn't even go for the emotional, you know, sort of slight shutdownness she sometimes has. He just was glad that anything had come out sort of, you know, out of the ordinary.
I think the judges have to some degree, give them a little bit of support.
Yeah.
Because imagine doing it every week and they are just going, you just don't get it, do you?
No, I mean, know. Although Craig did say that to someone this week, didn't he?
What I'm saying is, imagine being Chris Ramsey, right? you cannot have judges just going, darling, it's absolutely abhorrent. And I can see you're trying, but do you know what it's like? It's like watching a dead whale trying to climb up a pier. You know, I mean, you can't continually do that.
No.
And so I think, you know, Alex Scott made a huge leap.
She did. She was the only one who really did this week. Guest judge Alfonso Ribeiro, who we haven't mentioned, was in Bruno's chair this week, doing a very serviceable job of keeping the energy up that end of the table.
I think he did a spectacularly good job.
He's terrific.
It's nice having a little bit of a break from Bruno.
Oh, no, it is, actually. It really is. Although he did do a very good Bruno impression at one point, which felt like he was suddenly back in the room.
Yeah.
He did call her, though, a butterfly coming out of her shell, which, you know, you just have to let that go because, you know, he's thinking on his feet. He's always thinking he's bum. Yeah. But
yes, in LA, that is all we eat.
It's a thing. Butterflies in their shells.
Butterflies in shells. Yeah, yeah, with garlic sauce. You use one of those little sharp prongs to get them out. They are. You have to eat quite a lot.
It is a great delicacy.
Yeah, if you want to put on weight.
So next up, we had Emma and Aliash doing a Viennese waltz to a Whitney song.
Yeah.
Which was very elegant. I was bored witless.
Oh,
I don't
entirely.
Mind telling you.
Look, Viennese
she
waltz.
Was really good and I was still bored.
Exactly.
What does she have to do to impress us, Mark? What? She was brilliant.
She has to turn her back on luxury and she has to start working with the poor.
In a soup kitchen.
Yeah. I'm still annoyed by Please Welcome Model and Chef. I mean, they have not booked you for either of those things.
Of course they flipping haven't.
Who? And model, right? Model annoys me. Yeah. 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 Landed gentry's wife, Emma Weymouth.
I mean, plus one.
Lady plus one. The problem, a Viennese waltz is a boring dance.
Oh, I don't know, though. It depends. It should be romantic. It should be, the sweeping motion should sweep you along. It should be.
If you're doing it at a 50%, 60%, that really shows that it just, it's just a long slog through something where nothing much changes. She's still got that face on as well.
The same face. The face will never change. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. It's very beautiful. She's incredibly svelte and she looks like a swan. She was dressed like a swan.
Yeah.
She got all nines and just bored the arse off me.
Do you know what? It did also remind me a little bit because Aliash is all in white and she was in that white dress.
Yeah.
And there was someone singing Whitney.
Yeah.
And occasionally a couple of sharp notes in that.
Yeah. you have to be really on it to be Whitney.
It just looked like a wedding.
It looked like a white dress. Yeah,
it really did. Like of two people you were at school with this guy.
Yeah.
He's invited you out of the blue and you've got to look at it and you're going, God, they're much richer than I am. But at the same time,
lacking in taste.
Aren't they absolutely tasteless? Yeah.
So you were jeering at their wedding.
Absolutely.
Dance.
A little bit like I'd gone to the wedding in The Godfather.
However you look at that.
Gauche.
That's not probably what you want to come away from a dance with.
No.
So yeah, they did well. She got her best ever score. I think by then she topped the leaderboard or got very near the top.
And this seemed absolutely just out of what you would have expected. There was no way that she should have been top of the leaderboard at this stage with that dance.
I feel like she's done quite a lot of ballroom. She's the flip side of Michelle Visage. I think she's got a lot of salsa in her future, which means she dared by Blackpool.
Absolutely.
Blackpool will be it.
She will be relieved by that.
When she has to do the Latin week after week, that lovely long neck will be just all, she'll be so fed up.
I'm not eating chips. I'm a model and a chef.
Name me one thing you've ever cooked yourself, not watch someone else cook that you've cooked. Anyway, next was Mike and Katya's Samba to Jump on It, which is apparently the Alfonso Ribeiro famous dance from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
They showed a little clip of that and they were like, well, Alfonso is going to be the guest judge. And he really did this and it was a semi-final in Dancing with the Stars.
It was iconic, but it wasn't really. He just wiggled his hips.
Just show us it. And instead, we're watching it on a tiny screen. I thought, my God, they haven't got the rights to the American version.
Yes, maybe that was it.
Then they show it on a phone in a small thing. And
it's very odd.
I mean... Just show us the thing. This is, again, part of the thing I hate, that they aren't into their own history. And when you have that, where you go, oh, it's iconic, we can't really show it to you, and we're not going to spend any time actually, you know. Why they don't introduce the guest judge with a clip of this is why he's here.
I know.
You know, show us those great moments.
Yes, exactly.
I suppose it's because the American one looks a lot better quality than ours.
We don't want it. It's like having a bad dancer saying it's a good dancer.
Yeah.
You don't want those two side by side because you can see the difference.
And he came out in that and it was a semi-final. And even though it's like a postage stamp at the bottom of the screen, I was like, that dance looks brill.
Yeah, it looked like fun, you know. It looked like a lot of fun. It was one of those ones they had backing dancers as well. They always look impressive, don't they?
Yeah.
But so Mike was doing a samba. A samba was guaranteed to trip this guy up because you have to have a bouncing bum and he has nothing of the sort.
Yep.
He sort of had this strange, like he'd just gotten off a horse for the whole dance.
Oh, didn't he?
Just
like the trousers were much too tight.
Oh,
and they also stuck him in braces, you know, sort of yeah. suspender braces.
They did.
And that just, I mean, he is turning into a hobbit. It was pink braces, like some kind of horrible disco Baggins.
It wasn't good.
He is looking, again, you come up with these things where you just go, yeah. ah, he looks a bit like a hobbit. 4 weeks on, he is a hobbit from Lord of the Rings.
Poor man. And he's dancing lost a stone. Like it.
Well, I mean, oh, geez,
he didn't say that this week, though. Actually, it's the first week he hasn't said it.
He seemed to lose it from his legs.
It was he was making some very odd shapes, bum sticking out. I think he couldn't get the physicality of this dance right at all. It does look impossibly hard.
Yeah.
This is where he banged into his limitations. It did see them in the dance off, unsurprisingly. It was the correct dance off this week.
Yeah.
I think after last week, like I said, they do choose the dances ahead of time, but to lose another great dancer this week would have been criminal really put people's backs up.
I think there was something important about this dance, which is it was made to be the hilarious one that everybody remembers, and it fell flat on its arse.
It wasn't good.
That is good in a way, because at least you're not getting someone who's was it John Sargent who continually went through?
And, he was and in then, too long.
And then he stepped out himself saying, look, this is
you
just,
have to stop
this
now.
Is ruining everyone's
There are good
fun.
Dancers. Yes, exactly.
And with him, I think had this gone well, he would have been in for another week. And everyone would be going, oh, he's so funny, though, and he's really giving it a go.
I know.
And he would not be the person to go, well, I'm going to make way for everybody else. He'd have gone, I think we can win this.
No, because you can see in his eyes he really believes that he can do it. And actually, sometimes he really can sort of get the footwork right.
Yeah.
Actually, he's not John Sargent. He's not awful.
And this was an attempt to do that sort of iconic, funny routine.
You
give him a really, really sort of big song, and he can then do the sort of moving
this
around.
This is the Ed Balls Gangnam Style
it's Gangnam
moment
style.
That did not materialise. Even with Catchy's choreography, it didn't materialise.
Exactly. And the bit where you get Alfonso Ribeiro sort of coming out and saying, I'm going to, let's do my one.
It was a great distraction from him saying, wow, you suck balls.
Well, I mean, amazingly, don't say that to Katya.
Sorry.
That's really unfair.
That was just a rumour at the time.
they came out and I mean, what was amazing on this one was the judges were all saying, look, I'm not going to talk about the dance.
No.
And three of them,
that
I think, I am not going to talk about it. And it's like, guys, you are the judges.
Do talk about the dancing.
You've got to say, do you know what, Mike, that was not good.
Nuh-uh.
Because if you're not doing that, you're sort of, I don't know. It's great. It's great to have you here. You're such a great guy that I don't want to slag you off. And, we'll leave it to them. Yeah, talk.
If you're laying into one, lay into all of them.
It's
not at all,
called Strictly Nice Headmaster's Son. It's called Strictly Come Dancing.
Luckily, the scores did the talking. Craig gave him a 3, which I thought was generous.
Yeah.
And then there was 6, 5, 7 in that order. So scores all over the shop a bit, I think, Alfonso clearly just wanting to be nice.
Yeah.
But that was not a 7. That was ludicrously overmarking.
No, entirely.
They ended up in the dance-off. And I think the fact that they did shows the public are also slightly reversing out of that particular garage because there's just no point.
You get the one last week and
time
you
for
go
the good dancers, please.
Exactly. Yeah. He's had his moment that you go, that was great and it surpassed everything we thought.
Yeah, the tide's turned.
We have got one more dance from Mike and he is going because he cannot stay in this any longer.
If he doesn't go next week, I'm going, what shall I eat? I'll eat something. I'll eat a delicious bun.
Eat do really nice caramel crispies.
I'll have some of those.
I really hope he goes out now.
There's a lot at stake.
Oh, absolutely.
Genuinely, I think we're in agreement there. Next was I absolutely loved this dance. Mm. So Will and Jeanette did couples' choice this
Fantastic.
Week. It was contemporary dance.
Fantastic.
I can't remember what they danced to though.
It's a modern song.
It's a modern song
by a modern person. That
there you
when
go.
I was a something.
Oh, that one. When I was 7 years old. La da 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 da. Can't remember who did it, but that one.
The
yeah.
bit where it got to then I was 60 was when he was lifting her up and you could see her pants. I was thinking, oh, conflicted. Don't know. I'm too into it now. I wish that was just Jeanette
enjoy
now.
Enjoy the pants. Just go with it.
It would have been good because it was 60, if they'd have been really big grey pants like old people wear.
It would have been amazing, like baggy ones. No, this dance absolutely blew me away.
Fantastic.
Largely because of the kind of the shorthand they've got between them now. Mm. Her skills at partnering him with kind of the lifts and the... I mean, the emotion's really incredible. He's really, again, I keep saying for a sports person, but not just for a sports person now. When he dances, his eyes, always look in his eyes, he's just, there's something happens to him. It's just lovely to watch.
Yeah.
It was really emotional. Everyone was bloody crying. Moxie couldn't score him because she was crying.
I mean, the last one, she was like, I'm not going to talk about the dancing. This one, she's just like, move on.
And I'm not going to talk period. Like, she couldn't speak.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. Most people were crying. They patronised the arse off him.
Yes.
Again, inspirational. Yes, it was. It was all those things. But can you just talk about how that was a great dance? How those lifts were really beautifully executed? How the emotion in his dancing is what carries you through?
Exactly. And I was all ready to really, really
talk about the dancing.
This dance, because it's set up with the X Factory.
Oh, my God.
Here's
Great
me as a
Ormond
kid.
Street Hospital. Oh.
If you go to Great Ormond Street and you say this dance is for them, I mean, I was like, do you know what? I hope they get twos. How dare you manipulate us in that way? But it was, I mean, the very fact that for me, that I was ready to just go, this makes me feel ill.
And
it's really manipulative and awful.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is the best thing I've seen.
Yeah, it's just beautiful.
I really, really loved it. And I thought Jeanette in this was, it's great when someone who you take for granted because she's around there so long, and you just go, oh, she's good. She comes out.
She is wonderful.
She over-emotes and she gurns and she's all that. And then you see her doing the thing that she's so good at, and with someone who is allowing, sort of facilitating that and enhancing it.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought this was great.
Yeah, I think the way they danced. I mean, it sounds a bit sort of superfluous to say almost, but the way they partner each other, it's always to the benefit of the other.
Yeah.
Partner there's something really brilliant about that partnership. She wants him to do well.
Yep.
He is willing to put the work in, and together they are just a pleasure to watch.
Yeah.
Every week.
I thought the scores were a little low on this one.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if you go, do you know what? I'm so moved, I can't speak.
When
and
the
then
whole
I think Motsy
room
gave it a 7.
No, I think Craig gave them a 7. Then there was a couple of 8s and a 9. So an 8 from Motsy. I thought she was primed for a 9, but
Great. No.
So yeah, no, I think you're right. I think they could have gone higher because just some of the lifts and stuff. There was a lot of skill there.
Oh, there was, and it was just a thing of beauty. I think a lot of the time, I find when I watch Strictly, I'm a bit like, this is the sort of thing that if I went to somewhere like Cleethorpes, you would see people in their 60s dancing very similarly to a lot of this.
Yeah.
Or if you went to a Croydon, this is Miss Lavinia Dupree's Dance Academy, that you'd see that, and it seems dated. And this, for me, seemed like, that I could really get into contemporary dance. I enjoyed that.
I know, fancy that. I know, exactly. It does. It did sort of pull you along with them. Chris and Karen came next with their quick step to Prince's Let's Go Crazy, which is still in my mind now. Like, every time we stop talking, I can hear it.
Dum.
Yeah. And I can see her doing her thing. It's good. I thought it was really good fun. I really enjoyed watching this one.
Yeah.
And I love Chris's after dance banter.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. He was out of breath. He's like, we've never had a normal conversation, you and me, have we?
I
think he does himself every favour. Every week, you just love him a little bit more.
Yeah.
And they all agreed he is getting a bit better every week. But then Craig gave him a 5. That was not a blooming 5.
And they were all like, oh, we say this every week, you're getting better every week. They don't. They say every week, you're an embarrassment, you're a shambles, and you're ruining this
last
show.
Last week, they slightly pulled in their claws, but they really aren't very nice to him.
They had a little...
That was not a 5 dance.
No, it wasn't at all.
Just straight up, no way.
They had a little a thing where he went back to his... He's actually rehearsing in his school, his old school.
Yes, that's right.
Which... It looked like quite a nice school, I've got to say. Anytime you meet a headmaster who's a knight of the realm, you know, you think he's probably doing all right. But
exactly.
Even that head had obviously been briefed. The obvious thing in that is you go back, they dance for all the kids at assembly, and the kids are all holding up 10s. Yeah. Right, that's the end of that piece.
That's that done.
You don't have the headmaster then go, well, I really enjoyed watching Chris and Karen dance. Think some of the kids went a bit over the top giving them 10s.
Oh, no.
He said, I myself have given him 7. I'm hoping he'll get 4 7s because that will be improving. He didn't come up with that. A, he's not watching it. B, when everyone's at a school and you
Why
go 10, you go,
pull him down?
You go, Chris, it's certainly a 10 for us. We hope it's a 10 on the night.
Exactly.
You don't go,
that's the script.
On aggregate, I think Chris deserves 6.25.
Absolutely outrageous.
Why do they keep on pummeling him?
Maybe because they know long term, maybe they've done the analysis on this and they know that long term, the underdog shall triumph. He will get to the final on the show, just on a wave of pathos alone. For me, certainly he will. I'll be voting for him every week. I love him.
I think they're lining up their ducks to make sure that the people they want to go through are going to go through. And I think Chris, unfortunately, he is very much surplus to requirement.
No. Not if I've got anything to do with it, Mark. Not if I've got anything to do with it. Next, we had the highest scoring couple of the week, Top of the Pops, Saffron and AJ's Foxtrot.
Well,
I don't know, she even caught a cane, which is really impossibly hard to do. Her and Emma, how am I still not engaging with the skill that she even had kind of like almost dancer's legs this week? She was really looking on it. She caught a cane. There was standing ovations from a couple of the judges, although Shirley stood up and then just was reading something on her desk while standing.
I've so finally worked out, which I am pleased about. It's been bothering me for weeks, who she looks like.
Yeah.
And she looks like when Victoria Wood was very young doing Kimberly.
Oh, yeah.
If you stuck a beret on her, yeah. she would be the yeah. dead spit. And that was a relief for me.
Have you seen my friend Kimberly? She's wrapped all with bits of ceiling in her ear. Yeah, no, you're right. She does.
Once I'd seen that, I was like, oh, that's a relief.
There was
that's
a moment.
Been bothering me for
there
weeks.
Was a real kind of Stepford moment where she was saying something about, I think maybe to Claudia afterwards, yeah, it was just really nice so we could show our personalities.
Oh, I know.
And she just did it with the most dead-eyed, glassy stare. And I think the problem is, for me as well, when she, any of the VTs, any of the sort of off-the-cuff moments, she's still YouTubing. Yeah. I've not actually seen her doing the act of YouTubing, but I know what it looked like.
Yeah.
It's that. It's she can't stop presenting slightly woodenly
yep.
herself the whole time because there's a camera, so she has to be on camera.
She's the living embodiment of the phrase, hi guys!
Completely, like with legs and boobs. It's frightening.
Yeah.
And because that can't drop, I can never really truly enjoy her.
No.
And I think it was a tremendous dance. It was Sinatra, it was the Foxtrot, it was a full-on Strictly moment. They put her in quite a sexy dress, though. Did yeah. see her pants. Didn't see any of the other pants you're talking about. Definitely did see her
silvery pants. Did she have a very, very high sort of split up her
yeah,
skirt.
Just basically yeah. so that you could just constantly see her pants. I mean, I think that the pants were such that you were supposed to see them. They were very yeah. nice pants. But she got 9-10, 9-10. It was the best dance of the week in terms of scores. But I just don't know how... those two, Emma and Saffron,
yeah.
are in the peculiar position of being really good dancers, but they've, personality-wise, absolutely plateaued.
100%.
Unless one of them does a Charleston or something that brings them out into the, you know, into the real world. I'm not sensing long-term
and I certainly think
either of them.
With Saffron, I mean, is she at the level that Kelvin and Oti are at? No.
No, not really. But she's good.
They've chucked her right at the end away from that. And they've given it all nines and tens.
Yeah.
Was that, objectively, a better dance than the one that opened the show that got eights? No.
No, it wasn't. I don't think so. Although, you know, because he put so much difficulty in there, you know, there was a lot of skill involved. They did talk about, technically, things that I, and perhaps yeah. you wouldn't notice, like her heel turns and her extensions. And
She seemed to be... When you watched her feet...
a great box ticker.
Yeah. And when you watched her feet, you were like, wow, that's dazzling.
Yeah.
I actually watched this one twice because I watched it when my wife had gone to settle the baby.
Oh.
And it carried on playing. And she came back up and she was like, what were the last two dances like? And yeah. I was like, it was Chris Ramsey. It was, you know, same problems as ever.
You didn't want to watch Your Karen again? Oh.
No.
Karen's fallen out of favour,
has she? Do you know what? I didn't like the 80s look that she had.
You didn't like her strange hair, did you?
Well, I don't mind the hair. What it is, I don't like the 80s look because that to me is a boxy sort of jacket,
didn't they? Like a leopard print jacket.
She had one of those
something.
Huge sort of puffball sort of skirts almost, you know, with different sort of layers and things.
They kind of hid her this week.
Yeah.
I think sometimes
that's no use to me.
No, exactly. You want to see it all hanging out. Don't you?
Look, I want to see it.
Dirty old man.
No, not at all. It's very respectful ogling.
I can't talk. Like Kelvin was also wearing too many layers this week. Yeah. I was disappointed.
But I said to my wife, look, you know, the last one, it was meh. You know, it was good.
Yeah.
And watching it back, I was like, oh, actually, no, it's really quite good. But it just leaves no impression on me. It just sort of washes over you like Teflon.
Dinkum. I know. I'm with you there, unfortunately. So that was it for this week. I don't know in terms of who's left now. I mean, Mike is going next week. There's no doubt, is there?
Yeah, but he has to go up against someone.
And who would you put in the dance thing. Off with him now?
I mean, Emma Weymouth's been there before.
Don't say Chris. Don't say Chris.
I don't know. I think it will be. I think it might be one of the Emma Barton.
I'm scared for Emma and Anton because that five from Craig was uncalled for.
Yeah, or Catherine Tilsley.
She got a six. That was her last.
I think
score.
In a funny way, people will sit at home and go, the judges are being too kind on them.
Yeah.
And then you start sort of not supporting them.
Yeah.
And I think there could be, I have no doubt, whoever is against Mike, which is a danger of course, it being a slight plateau week
again.
Yeah,
I know.
People will up their game because they don't want to be in the dance-off with Mike.
Exactly.
Because why? I mean, it's just an extra dance you have to do for no reason because you will stay
in. No, absolutely, absolutely.
But I don't know. Who do I think's in danger? I think actually pretty much everyone's in danger, oddly.
Yes, you're right. I think plateau week, the cream usually is starting to rise to the top. No one was that creamy this week.
No.
Let's be perfectly honest.
No, absolutely. A cream-free week.
Even those who dance better, like Alex and Neil, personality-wise... I'm still not feeling it, so maybe...
Do you know what? I think Alex is a perfect example of this, where I think she could go up against Mike and she will not lose to Mike.
Yeah, but no, she won't.
She has a bad dance coming next week.
Yeah.
Then there's every chance that next week she'll be in the same position.
Completely.
And she cannot save herself against the people she's going up against.
I think you're right. Once Mike has gone, and I'm afraid if that's not happening next week, then there'll be, I will protest that broadcasting house. Once Mike has gone, it's squeaky bum time for absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
Because there's too much middle, as we've said before.
Yeah.
Too and much that, middle, and some good middles are going to go.
That's when it becomes exciting. And also, I am really hoping in the next couple of weeks that the tabloid stories are going to ramp up.
Are you getting a bit bored of the no gossip?
Do you know what I am?
They're all single.
This is the first week, the first year we've done the curse of Strictly.
Yeah.
And this is the first year where
there
hasn't been anything.
It's all been before the camera started rolling. Like all the relationships have been crashing.
Yeah, and everyone's been so polite and so nice. Mm. And please, will you start having sex with each other? I want to talk
about that. They're just hiding it well.
Stop hiding it.
Look, I'll see what I can find out for next week, okay?
I'm going to hang around the Wetherspoons in Boreham Wood. I'm just going to wait.
Down that alleyway.
You probably know this, but I'm not allowed within 200 metres of Karen Howard.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, she does have pepper spray and a taser,
I believe, issued by the production team. It's mighty spicy as well. Oh,
yeah. Anyway, I apologise as always for Mark. There's nothing I can do about it. That's just how he is. Thank you so much for listening. Come back next week. Next week is like no man's land. Then I'm pretty sure we must be nearly Halloween, right?
Yeah.
And Halloween is usually horrific. Like everyone does bad dances and gets terrible scores. So I can't wait for that one. Yeah. That's at least something to look forward
and
to.
And it's brilliant as well. They won't be able to use any Michael Jackson songs this year. So a couple of bangers are out.
Meanwhile, Mark, because you've got a sore throat, do you want me to do the sign off?
Yes, please, Jules.
Okay. I don't know if I can do it convincingly. Keep listening, subscribing and liking. 5 stars only. Thank you so much for coming. See you next week. Bye.
That was really good.
Oh, thanks.
I'll give you a 7.
Hello, my darlings. It's me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, welder. Gotta have a backup. I've been in everything, my darlings, and I've been cut from most things. However, I will not be cut from one thing, and that is my own podcast, Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, where I meet those rarest of creatures, the actors. That's Talking to Actors. Look out for the new series starting soon on The Great Big Owl.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.